Babylon was one of the ancient societies that Polanyi had studied. He felt that these ruins in the desert held clues, not only to ancient civilizations, but also to how they viewed their economies.
They discovered from ancient Babylonia, that is modern Iraq, a number of tablets that were the contracts that had been made for trade from the palace to the outlying areas.
Now this here simple life-size replica of the Taj Mahal, made entirely out of oleomargarine, houses our guru, Dr. Tim. Let's knock on the door and see if he's in. Howdy, Dr. Tim.
I just thought I'd drop out and say hello. Hello.
Come back, Dr. Tim. We want to talk to you.
Oh, welcome to the Link of Spirited Guhuri, LSG. Wait a minute. Oh, well, another day, another green, blue, electric, yellow dollar. Got anything to drink? Anything at all?
And why is it that you're drinking, Timmy, me boy?
Because it's bad for my hallucinations. I get a chance to see things in real black and white. I despise electric pink.
You know, Dr. Tim is keeper of the sacred tablets.
Yeah, have a tablet. Oh, nice, paisley, horsey. Give the nice horsey some sugar cubes.
I have here five tablets which relate to ancient economy and to the economic development. This rather big tablet here is a ledger of animals available for agricultural purposes from the time of the Ur-3 period, that's at the end of the 3rd millennium BC, and it shows that the bureaucracy at the time ended up with ledger-like tablets like this, recording all kinds of economic activities.
From these clay tablets discovered in modern Iraq, people immediately concluded business is as old as mankind. And if there was a business, it meant the kind of business we knew, buying and selling, profit making, and so on.
These tablets are from a period where we think that the economy was more based on the temple and the palace and less economic activity on the private sector.
The traders were what we would call today civil servants.
It's two postmen times three animal control officers divided by two gas meter readers makes how many bendable integrated community workers? Decode your answer now. Did you remember to carry the bum? Good. The answer...
Their income came not from the profits on the trade. Their income came from the salaries they made. We have mistaken the nature of this trade. It is trade, but not the kind of trade that we are involved in. It was one indication that we were caught in a bind in economic history, that whenever we saw any evidence of trade, and trade is as old as mankind, we assumed business. We fell back on Adam Smith's instinctive notion that mankind has an inherent propensity to truck, barter, and exchange. In other words, put it differently, the market economy is built in as a human instinct. It was out of this kind of vice that Polanyi tried to escape. Thank you.
He saw a way out of the grip of this vice in the study of ancient societies. Societies whose economies were under the control of social norms and regulations, where money and debt were treated differently than they are today.
In Sumer and Babylonia, people who did owe the debt were like owing the price for a fine. They literally could be reduced to bondage to the creditor. And in time, they could lose their land rights. In Sumer, every new ruler would proclaim a clean slate. And the clean slate would, number one, free the debt bond servants, number two, return the land to that had been forfeited to creditors, and three, would annul the debts.
They brought the ignorant, they brought the poor, they brought all the starving Negroes, all the people, all the starving Chinamen, all the starving people from Morocco, all the starving people from Senegal that we saw in that film last night, all those unhealthy starving people, and they brought them to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they set up the great...
What did they do to them, brother? What did they do there?
They did the most terrible things you can imagine. First of all, they
restricted... They rent them asunder, did they?
They restricted their constitutional rights to begin with.
The restriction of constitutional rights,
like,
dear friends.
Like a salt pancake laid upon the body politic of a great nation.
A salt-filled pancake. Think of that upon the body politic, dear
bitter
friends.
To taste, bitter to wear.
Bitter to hold, brother.
And they were held there. Not only their hearts and their souls, but their bodies and the machines thereof. Up to one half.
Up to one
up
half?
Up to one half. And nor could they depreciate for 4 years.
Sad tale.
It was a time of terrible economic impression. And all that were near it grew sad, or corn, depending upon their want.
I went down to the Chemical Corn Exchange Bank the other day and gave them 3 ears of corn, and they gave me 3 beakers filled with chemicals.
They did.
A testimonial, dear friend.
That's fair trade. That's frightening.
That's Jubilee, friends. Every 7 years, we come here before the microphones to announce the Jubilee, the beginning of the great feast that lasts a full cycle of the sun in which all slaves are set free.
Can't you hear their feet stomping in the mud right now?
Let's get out of this mud.
All debts are forgotten.
Yeah, about that fiver I've known you.
Yeah, debt's forgotten. Forget all, debt.
All orphans are attended to.
Yeah.
And all wars and arguments between great nations are settled. Jubilee.
Would you like to settle this war right now?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Let's look between two idiots. Look, you're an idiot and I'm an idiot.
Okay,
we both know
but
that.
But I'm the head idiot of my country.
Okay, you can be the head idiot of your country if I can be the head idiot of my country.
I'll grant you
what
that.
About all those little countries
look
in between?
Those two dumb guys.
Okay. What did you say?
Well, what about all these little countries in
those
between?
Those little countries, look at them. They're full of idiots.
Those guys
they're full of idiots just like us.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey, you here. Little idiots, any of you idiots over there want to come over here with us idiots and solve this war?
We're the heads of the pin trust over here.
We're not smart enough to understand about that kind of
stuff. We're the dummies.
We're dumb. Yeah, well,
I'm the dumbest guy in my country.
That's true.
And you're the dumbest guy in your country.
I'll come and live in your country. Then I won't have to be the dumbest guy anymore.
I'll go over to your country, too. It'll be great. Those Moscow girls really knock me out.
Golly.
They leave the West behind.
This was the law that the Jews in captivity picked up from Babylonia, and the Hebrew practice of Dror had exactly the same 3 items. So you restore the normal equity way of producing within the economy, the way things were before. We now have hundreds of thousands of cuneiform tablets that tell us who owed the early debts and who were the debts owed to. Almost all debts were owed to the public sector, to the palace and the temple and to their collectors. If you had the government as the main entrepreneur and creditor, then it was easy to cancel the debts for the Near East because you were canceling debts owed to yourself. What became much more difficult in classical antiquity was when the debts were owed to private creditors.
Is this strange moral power that debt has over us? It can seem to justify anything. What is it about debt that seems to trump any other morality?
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal. And the star boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load the 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load the 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
The more I research the matter, I realize that this kind of moral confusion, this moral conflict over debt, goes back thousands of years. People have been having these kind of arguments forever. And I think the reason why is because, well, what is a debt? A debt's a promise. But in a way, it's a very weird kind of promise. I even say it's a perversion of a promise. Because it's a promise that has been suffused with this kind of combination of mathematics and violence.
This is the true shocking story of Scarface Al Capone, who stalked out of Chicago to take America by the throat.
Yeah, peace, love, and flowers, baby. Drop in.
Is this Ute magazine?
Yes, it is.
We're from the syndicate. The underground press syndicate.
Oh, you must be Irving the Flower Child Gusick. Is that Herman the Flower Child Gusick?
The very same. You are obviously acquainted with my karma. I should like for you to cohabit with my friend and accountant, Irving Acapulco Goldstein.
Oh, how do you do, man?
This is a nice little business you got here.
Well, thank you very much.
I should hate to have to send around the diggers to rearrange your paisleys.
Is that a threat?
Don't be paranoid. It's just that Irving here says that you don't respond so good to the poster we send you inviting you to join at the syndicate.
Well, I thought you were a rock group.
We are. Only we don't sing.
You remember what happened at the Oracle?
At the Oracle? You mean when somebody broke in the middle of the afternoon and threw acid all over the art director? Oh, come on now. You can't scare me. I'm not afraid of death anymore.
Shut up! We're not talking about ego death. We're talking about body death. Acapulco.
My God, it's the crystal shiv.
Ah! You want maybe I should let him strap a monkey on your back?
Yeah, let me shoot him up, boys. Let me shoot him up.
No. No, wait a minute. It's just... I don't see what the syndicate has to offer me.
Freedom from body death for openers.
Yeah, let me open him up, boy.
Easy. Also, you get the friendly and harmonious cooperation of the other members of the syndicate, namely...
the Los Angeles Free Lunch.
It's funny, you know, I own that. Ah.
A Du Bois barbiturate.
I own that, too.
To every woman's village udder.
I just bought that.
The New York Times.
Well, we're in negotiations.
All right. So you won't talk, huh? Well, me and the boys are going to have a little confrontation. You stay right where you are. If you know what's good for you, I'll tune in.
Yeah, let me get funny.
All right, I'll tune in. We've come to a little decision. We'll sleep in the back.
This is why the mafia, for example, always tries to turn everything into a debt when they're collecting it to moralize it. The fact that it is a promise makes it seem sacred in a way that other relations of, well, to put it frankly, extortion, don't. And in fact, if you look at history, what you find is that debt is the most effective means ever created to take what is essentially a relationship of violent extortion and make it seem moral. And not only to make it seem moral, to make it seem like it's actually the victims who are somehow morally to blame. Debts are always negotiable if they're between equals. People who you consider equal in status, of course debts can be renegotiated. In fact, what we saw in 2008 is if your American Insurance Group, if your Bank of America, if your Citibank, you know, they're willing to write off trillions of dollars worth of debt by waving magic wands of one sort or another. They have no problem forgiving debt. So, you know, how is it that American Insurance Group can have their debts written off and Greece can't?
Clap on!
Lets you turn capitalism on or off, however you choose. Don't trouble yourself with a complicated socialist revolution. Just clap on, clap off. Clap on when times are good and you make the profit. Clap off when times are bad. Just clap off the free market and the glorious state will provide.
The only possible explanation is that people assume that the kind of people who are in American Insurance Group are people like them. And in fact, if you look at world history, what you realize is that debts between equals are fundamentally different than debts between the powerful and the powerless.
Oh, yes. You owe me a little matter of 20-odd pounds, I believe. Well, if you want to pay it, come to my place of business. I don't conduct my affairs in the teeth of inclement weather.
I can't pay you, sir.
I'm not surprised.
Not unless you give me more time.
Did I ask you for more time to lend you the money?
Oh, no, sir.
Then why should you ask me for more time to pay it back?
I can't take my wife to a debtor's prison.
Then leave her behind. Why should she go to a debtor's prison anyway? She didn't borrow the £20. You did. Huh. What has your wife got to do with it? For that matter, what have I got to do with it? Good afternoon.
But Mr. Scrooge, it's Christmas.
Christmas has even less to do with it, my dear sir, than your wife has or I have. You'd still owe me £20 if you're not in the position to repay if it was the middle of a heat wave and August bank holiday. Good afternoon.
So what had happened? When did debt become a supposedly purely economic issue? When did the economy surpass social relationships? According to Karl Polanyi, it was the reorganization of society during the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century. When for the first time in history, labor, land, and money were transformed into commodities. But labor, land, and money, he wrote, are obviously not commodities. Labor is only another name for human activity, which goes with life itself. Money is merely a token of purchasing power, Karl Polanyi wrote. Land is only another name for nature, which is not produced by man. Society's problems begin, according to Polanyi, by pretending that these commodities will behave as if they are real.
in the Jurassic, about 150 million years ago, the great Sun Buddha in this corner of the infinite void gave a great discourse to all the assembled elements and energies, to the standing beings, the walking beings, the flying beings, and the sitting beings, even grasses, to the number of 13 billion, each one born from a seed, were assembled there. A discourse concerning enlightenment on the planet Earth.
In some future time, there will be a continent called America. It will have great centers of power called such as Pyramid Lake, Walden Pond, Mount Rainier, Big Sur, Everglades, and so forth, and powerful nerves and channels such as Columbia River, Mississippi River, and Grand Canyon. The human race in that era will get into troubles all over its head and practically wreck everything in spite of its own strong, intelligent Buddha nature.
The twisting strata of the great mountains and the pulsing of great volcanoes are my love burning deep in the earth. My obstinate companion is schist and basalt and granite to be mountains, to bring down the rain. In that future American era, I shall enter a new form to cure the world of loveless knowledge that seeks with blind hunger and mindless rage, eating food that will not fill it. And he showed himself in his true form of Smokey the Bear. A handsome, smoky-colored brown bear standing on his hind legs, showing that he is aroused and watchful, bearing in his right paw the shovel that digs to the truth beneath appearances, cuts the roots of useless attachments, and flings damp sand on the fires of greed and war. His left paw in the mudra of comradely display, indicating that all creatures have the full right to live to their limits, and that deer, rabbits, chipmunks, snakes, dandelions, and lizards all grow in the realm of the Dharma. Wearing the blue work overall symbolic of slaves and laborers, the countless men oppressed by a civilization that claims to save but only destroys. Wearing the broad-brimmed hat of the West, symbolic of the forces that guard the wilderness, which is the natural state of the Dharma and the true path of man on earth. All true paths lead through mountains. With a halo of smoke and flame behind, the forest fires of the Kali Yuga, fires caused by the stupidity of those who think things can be gained and lost, whereas in truth all is contained, vast and free, in the blue sky and green earth of one mind.
Round-bellied to show his kind nature, and that the great earth has food enough for everyone who loves her and trusts her.
Trampling underfoot wasteful freeways and needless suburbs, smashing the worms of capitalism and totalitarianism.
Indicating the task, his followers becoming free of cars, houses, canned food, universities, and shoes. Master the three mysteries of their own body, speech, and mind. And fearlessly chop down the rotten trees and prune out the sick limbs of this country, America, and then burn the leftover trash.
Wrathful but calm, austere but comic, Smokey the Bear will illuminate those who would help him. But for those who would hinder or slander him, he will put them out.
Thus his great mantra, I dedicate myself to the universal diamond, be this raging fury destroyed.
And he will protect those who love woods and rivers, gods and animals, hobos and madmen, prisoners and sick people, musicians, playful women, and hopeful children.
And if anyone is threatened by advertising air pollution or the police, they should chant Smokey the Bear's war spell. Drown their butts! Crush their butts! Drown their butts! Crush their butts!
And Smokey the Bear will surely appear to put the enemy out with his Vajra shovel.
Now those who recite this sutra and then try to put it in practice will accumulate merit as countless as the sands of Arizona and Nevada.
Will help save the planet Earth from total oil slick.
Will enter the age of harmony of man and nature.
Will win the tender love and caresses of men, women, and beasts.
Will always have ripe blackberries to eat and a sunny spot under a pine tree to sit at.
And in the end, will win highest, perfect enlightenment.
Thus have we heard.
Polanyi also anticipated the havoc caused by what he called the fiction of money as a commodity. It would prove as disastrous to business as flood and drought in primitive societies, he wrote. No society could stand the effect of such a system of crude fiction.
The story of the Great Transformation is the story of pushback, that society became an important protagonist. And this was novel, because for those who were involved in economics, individualism was the key. There was no society.
It is, on the one hand, my father's concept of the disembedded economy, the idea that capitalism has disembedded the economic life from the social base, or rather has transformed the social base to serve the economy, so that economic relations begin to govern, you know, the way in which we relate to each other in society.
The golden era of consumption. It is so important that protecting this era has become the top priority for the materials economy. That's why after 9/11, when our country was in shock and President Bush could have suggested any number of appropriate things, to grieve, to pray, to hope. No, he said to shop, to shop. We have become a nation of consumers.
Yeah, yes, yes, Ms. Dim Glimmer, I'll put them in the mail today. Merry Christmas.
Did I hear you say Merry Christmas, Mutt? Well, we ain't even finished with Halloween.
Yeah, I know, but old Miss Dim Glimmer likes to get a good head up on her present buying.
Oh, what's she giving this year?
Oh, same old stuff. Cold or hot, snow globes, a couple of sets of mismatched spangled spam can low-dangling earrings, a dachshund-shaped bread box for French loaves, oh, and a dozen or so pig-themed wind chimes. Oh,
yes, yeah, she do love the sounds of pigs tinkling in the wind,
doesn't
don't
everybody?
She?
Oh, you guys!
Oh, hey, boys.
Oh, come on, fellas.
Give us our scary party goodies.
Yeah, for the haunted church satanic sacrifice and potluck.
Hmm? You got that right, but yeah. I'm coming to get you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, don't he look just like a clueless Kluck Klanner in that sheet?
Well, he would if he just cut some eye holes in the thing.
If you broke it, you bought it.
Oh, no such luck, Mutt. He just knocked over a stack of war surplus crash boxes.
Come on, boys. Help me up, and we'll get down to business.
Here you go.
Now, Mutt, we need 10 gross each of boot paste, ugly wugglies, finger traps, and gliding eyeballs.
Okay, I'll get them.
And while you're up on the ladder, Smut, pull down some moaning prickle balls, whodunit puzzles, and bloody squirt fish.
Oh, the kids loved those last year.
Yeah, they're behind the prehistoric pail packs, rainbow coils, and doodlers there, Smut.
Well, don't I know
well,
that?
Well, I'm just trying
well,
to help.
Well, then we want 100 gory goodie bags filled with crippled flip frogs, devaluated dollar balls, and radium glow yos.
Well, I got those right here. Oh, this is going to be some horrific party, boys.
And don't forget the neon knockers in slime, the wicky wacky sticker faces, some small stretch men, and those go-go rings.
And 12 packs of serial killer candy cards and finger guillotines for door prizes.
We'll be back in a half hour to pick everything up, okay?
Because right now we gotta go toilet paper some trees and tip over some outhouses.
See you at the service, fellas.
So long, you troublemakers. Don't you just love a sacrifice sale?
We gonna make us a devil of a prophet.
In my father's perspective, it is more the other way around, that the society is the base and the economy rests in a way on a society, and when those links disappear and when it is disembedded from that society and assumes a life of its own and drives what we do and how we work and how we consume and how we think, we ultimately have an unsustainable system, because it eats out the social relations and also the relations to the natural environment.
Polanyi in The Great Transformation pictured society as an irresistible force, meaning the coming of new market institutions, running up headlong against an immovable object, which was society itself. And the reason one ran into the other is because the new market economy cast a kind of a net covering everything.
What we're living through right now is just dramatized conflict between democracy and the market. My father was saying there is a problem. There is a contradiction between capitalism and democracy. Capitalism and democracy, we have become used to presented to us as complements. The two things go together. But that is, on closer examination, not really the case. Not when the capitalism takes the form of this gross financialization and basic capture of the political process.
For Adam Smith, a free market was a market that was free of rentiers, meaning people who received income without working for it. Today, a free market means freedom for rentiers, for the landlords, for the bankers, and what's called the finance, insurance, and real estate sector, which is exactly the opposite of everything Adam Smith and subsequent classical economists were all about.
Karl Polanyi died in 1964. His ashes were interred in Budapest, the homeland he had left 45 years earlier.
There has been such a renaissance. His ideas are more alive than ever. The economy has to be subordinated. The economy is important, but it cannot override and colonize, if you wish, all other aspects of our social life and our society.
Good evening. This is Lewis Marshman speaking for myself and my thousands of fellow professionals who, like myself, are responsible for speaking to you as I am at this time. We are all involved in a national news emergency of such magnitude that only now can we pause for a moment to distort its proportions back to our own limited perspective. The credibility gap now stretches beyond the international dateline, so that lies fabricated in the foreign press are repudiated in our local papers the day before they appear in the country of their origin. The advance of science now allows us to bounce our information off the planet Saturn, but none of it has returned, leaving our global home bereft of news. And so, concerned citizens like myself sit here tonight with absolutely nothing of any importance to say. Then let it be said, not to enlighten, but to inform. Our generation has achieved failure at the cost of its own success, and our great-great-grandchildren are paying for that powerful failure. But they're too young to work in the dark. So we must lend them the little immense energy left to help them shoulder that impossible load. Yet debt has never frightened us. It is, after all, the currency of fear, and fear is where we're rich. We have learned to hoard despair and make it pay great dividends. The shadow of a chicken in every pot. The freeways jammed with empty holiday cars. 100 million television sets turned to face the wall. Yes, a rich land with cream in the coffee bread lines in their palms. But the memory banks are closing because our youth and the young at heart refuse to gossip the good talk, refuse to dance on the grid, refuse to even pretend to be duped. And a nation that can't be duped can't be made fun of itself. I and every other mind sewn together in this great circle of world thought gave up the declining years of their boyhood, beat off every desire and phantom lover to conjure up all the little people on the billboards you've loved to eat so much. Crunchy Caramel, Mr. Peanut, Captain Crunch, Snappy Tom, Little Bite-Sized Godzilla. They're the children of my career. Throw them in the gutter and you drown my breakfast. So come on, let's be kids again. Let's listen to the radio and spoil our appetites. Let's put on Daddy's shoes and invent the atom bomb. Or at least, let's say we did it. Or at very least, let's start storing up some respect for the people whose job it is to tell us about it. Actors and soldiers are people, too, you know. There's one at your door right now, reading your number. Let him in. Just because he's got a snappy uniform on doesn't mean he isn't a cripple. Just because I'm talking to millions of you doesn't mean I'm not lonely. So give us a dime, or give us a call, but for God's sake, don't give us away. Thank you. And now back to the news.
This has been an important editorial from the management of this radio station.